behind us, and Senator Hoffman is with us this morning. Purpose of today's meeting is to start and get as far as we can on the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities capital budget. And we'll do that shortly. Any cell phones or pagers in the audience or at the table, please turn those off. Couple of scheduling things just for the committee. We had originally scheduled today to hear House Bill 12. We'll finish with the capital budget today and tomorrow, and start back into bills as Senator Green allows us to do for operating budget starting next week. So, with that, Senator Green, anything coming before the committee? No. Anything else from the committee members to come before the committee before we begin? Teleconference folks, none yet, but when they come, we'll let you know that they're online. So with that, welcome to the Senate Finance Table, Department of Transportation, Public Facilities, and if you would, in regard to Senate Bill 100, please present your capital budget. And so that I understand it, and for the committee, we have, as we did yesterday, 2 inches of paperwork. And as I understand it, if we look at page one, we'll see 6794. That's the appropriation. And then following that, all the way till the second page, which starts with coordinated transportation, is all the allocations. And then on coordinated transportation, you'll see airport improvement, and then 3 pages of allocations, and then that just continues on. So DOT will speak to the appropriation and any individuals' allocations that you might have any questions with. Feel free to ask those here, but if we can limit our comments to the appropriation, that may allow us to get through this in a timely manner. So, welcome, Senator Taylor.
Thank you.
With that, Doc Puff, good morning and welcome.
Morning.
Good morning, Senator. I'm John McKinnon, Deputy Commissioner of Transportation for Highways and Public Facilities, and with me is Nancy Schlegel. I'm here on the DOT's capital budget.
Hold that microphone a little closer to your...
I'll do that and speak up and...
No, it'll pick you up if you point it right at one of your chins.
Anyone in particular?
Yeah, I speak with knowledge. Okay, go ahead, John.
Yeah, the first one on there is an appropriation for Alaska Marine Highway System vessel overhaul and rehabilitation. This is an annual thing to deal with on all of our vessels. It's required inspections. These are inspections that cannot be done while the vessel is in service. And most of these are, like I said, requirements by the Coast Guard and other regulatory agencies, and it deals with a 9-vessel fleet. $4.5 million of that is the required annual overhaul of each of the 9 vessels. $250,000 for ongoing maintenance of the system's 20 state-owned shore facilities. Another $100,000 for shipboard safety improvements. Again, kind of an ongoing thing that happens every year. And $50,000 for completion of the maintenance management system for a total of $4,900,300.
Questions on vessel overhaul and rehab? Next, please.
The next item is $600,000 for material stockpiles on the Dalton Highway, Glen Highway, and Richardson Highway and Toke Cutoff. These are something that we found.
John, if I interrupt just for a second, if you could just refer to the reference number before you start each presentation, that'll help us and the Senate Secretary the Finance Secretary to make sure we're on the right item.
Sure. Next reference number, 33853.
Thank you.
It's material stockpiles on 4 different highways, $600,000. These stockpiles are required to maintain and repair sections of the highway that receive that are going to receive a high float surface treatment. This is part of the the gravel to pavement program. These stockpiles are needed in these areas because in most of these areas, there is not a commercial source of aggregate to do these. So the aggregate, the material stockpiles are purchased from private vendors if at all possible, and trucked to these locations and stockpiled so that when the crew is there to do the surface treatment of the roads, that the materials are readily available.
Questions? Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With the mild winter, was there any materials left over from last year?
Senator Hoffman, these materials are not the ones used for sanding the ice on the roads. These are materials used for chip sealing and
okay.
High flow treatments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And actually, in answer to your question, there was not a lot of snow this winter, but there were some very unusual icing conditions, which resulted in a lot more sand and a lot more chemical used on some of the highways. And as a result, we've had a lot more cleanup this spring on some of those highways.
Other questions on material stockpiles? John, are there anyone with you in the room or on teleconference that are from out of town that want to speak on this that we want to get to today? Any of your staff or anyone that, so we're all Juneau folks?
We're all
okay.
Juneau folks.
Okay. Okay. Next, airport deferred maintenance.
30633, airport deferred maintenance. $850,000 in general fund. This is to take care of some of the backlog of maintenance totals, which total over $25 million at many of the airports. Typical items are pavement repairs, lighting repairs, fencing repairs, bird and animal controls, and with the increased security requirements as a result of 911, this is something that's going to be causing a lot of concern, especially in the area of fencing and access controls to these airports.
Questions? Senator Bundy?
Thank you. Does this maintenance involve Juneau, Fairbanks, Anchorage airports?
I believe Juneau is municipally owned. Anchorage and Fairbanks are a little bit separate from this in that they're paid for out of a different fund. These are most of the 200 and some airports that are not part of, not one of the major international airports. It would be largely rural airports and smaller community airports.
Anchorage Fairbanks maintenance paid for by landing fees. There's no local contribution for the rural airports.
That's correct. Anchorage and Fairbanks, we try to make them operate as enterprise funds.
Thank you.
Other questions? Senator Taylor?
While he's on the subject, and I think it's a good one, is the governor going to be submitting or has your staff been working on any proposals for landing fees across the state? When Sitka dumped it back on you a few years ago, we ended up with about $400,000 or $500,000 loss. We then had to pick that maintenance cost up out of the Southeast maintenance budget. I wondered, since I don't believe we're charging any landing fees at Wrangell or Petersburg or Sitka. Ketchikan is because they maintain and run that airport. You are here in Juneau because your community runs this airport. Anchorage Fairbanks charge fees because they have the International Airport Fund that they depend upon. And I know there's an old court case out there and there's other problems, but it's a revenue source that certainly needs to be considered. And I think that's what Senator Bundy may have been referring to. And I just wondered if you guys were working on something that we might see in the near future.
Response?
Senator, I can't answer that question on landing fees at some of those mid-sized airports. I do know that Sitka is looking into a passenger facility charge in order to take care of some of the improvements they need to do to the terminal and their operational facilities there.
Yeah, I meant just overall on those 200 airports that we're trying to maintain, is there any hope for the future that we may have some revenue to maintain it with? If you could just get back to me and I think to Senator Bundy on that, I know we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
And John, it may be helpful for us just to see where the $850,000 was spent in the '03 budget and where the $850,000 is expected to be spent in the '04 budget. Just a list if you have it somewhere.
Sure.
Nancy, have a list? We have that available
okay.
for you.
Okay, if, Ryland, if you could pass that out to the committee for our files. Anything else on deferred maintenance, airport deferred maintenance? Senator Hoffman?
Can we get a list of $25 million in backlog and what type of repairs are needed as well?
Get that.
All right, anything else on deferred maintenance? Next, please.
30631, reference number is highway deferred maintenance, $1.5 million general fund. This will address some of the needs that haven't been handled through the operating budget and maintenance funds. And typical items are repairs to the roadside embankments, ditching, drainage culverts, guardrail repairs, marking and sign repairs, brush cutting along the sides of the highway and along the curves to improve sight distance on the corners. Just a wide variety of general maintenance items.
Questions on highway deferred maintenance? Senator Taylor?
Does this amount include any of the work that needs to be done due to the earthquake damage highway from Toke down by Mantasta?
Senator Taylor, this does not, this does not include any of those emergency repairs. I believe those total approximately in the $55 to $60 million range.
Oh, is that one? Wow. Thank you.
Next, please.
Reference number 30632, facilities deferred maintenance and critical repairs, $1 million in general fund. Again, this is just some of the critical deferred maintenance needs in Department of Transportation. Maintain facilities, we have approximately a little over 600 facilities that DOT does maintain. It includes just the absolute most critical ones we need to do that will hopefully stop further deterioration of the facilities.
Questions on facilities deferred maintenance? Senator Hoffman?
Can we get an idea of what the backlog is on this item?
Senator Hoffman, it scares me when I look at the backlog. I've heard such a wide variety of numbers there, and at one hand, I've heard it was in the $55 to $60 million range just on DOT's maintained facilities.
And a great deal of that, Mr. Chairman, has to do with the four maintenance stations that we had to close down because of structural problems with them. And so that did bring up our deferred maintenance list substantially.
What are those four?
Chandelier, Willow, East Fork, and Nome. Chandelier is in our request, so we'll be talking about that.
Nancy, if you could pull that microphone a little closer to you, and also, would you identify yourself, please? I'm not sure we had you on the record at the beginning.
Sorry, the record, Nancy Slagle, Director of Administrative Services for the Department of Transportation Public Facilities.
Pull that down just a little bit, and there you go. Thank you. And would you have a list like this, Nancy, for facilities deferred maintenance as well as highway deferred maintenance?
I believe it's on that list.
It's all on there. Oh, yes, it is, thank you. It is, okay. Thank you for that. Questions on facilities deferred maintenance and critical repairs? Next, please.
Reference number 30634, emergency and non-routine repairs. These are repairs to transportation facilities needed because of natural disasters such as floods, snow, wind, earthquakes, et cetera. These repairs are ineligible for any federal funding, and they're used to meet imminent needs. A lot of these things, we don't know what those repairs are because they haven't occurred yet. It's just a budget item so that we're prepared to handle anything that comes up.
Nancy, it looks like you have a list.
I have some history as to where those monies have gone in the past to give you an example of the types of things that we've been covering. This is not a current list, and so it needs to be updated. But there are some areas where we needed to do some quick repairs at Cordova Airport, so we use some of the emergency non-routine monies. There is some, a little bit of non-eligible costs related to the earthquake damage that we needed to take from this. It was a fairly small amount, but we knew that FEMA and Federal Highways were not going to be able to cover that. I think it was about $60,000 that we had to take from this pot of money. We have avalanches. Sometimes we have to use this pot of money. If we have any type of facilities that need some immediate repair work, we'll use this type of this pot of money also. So it covers facilities, airports, highways, all of those areas that we're responsible for.
Questions? Senator Green?
I'm having a hard time understanding what the difference between this would be and a supplemental. Because it sounds like this is a slush fund for things that might happen unexpectedly, and I thought that's what supplemental budgets were supposed to be.
Through the chair, Senator Green, there are certainly instances where we will need to come forward for a supplemental to deal with them. This, because of the size of the pot, it allows us to keep going and respond to those emergency requests on an ongoing basis, especially the smaller emergencies, rather than coming in for a supplemental on everything. And it does place a burden on our budget if we have to absorb those until the supplemental is provided. So we certainly try to keep our supplementals to a minimum if we possibly can. And this pot of money helps us do that.
Senator Bundy?
And did I hear we were going to get a list of how these monies have been used in the past?
Certainly.
Anything else on emergency and non-routine repairs? Next, please.
Reference number 32478. It's the Chandler Maintenance Station replacement. After the collapse of the department's maintenance structure at Cascade Station on the Glen Highway and 7 Mile Camp on the Dalton Highway because of snow conditions, previous Commissioner Perkins ordered structural evaluations of any building that might be suspect to be structurally deficient. And from the initial evaluations, the Chandler building was found to be unsafe for occupancy. It was vacated and demolished in the summer of fall of 2001. This $5.2 million will allow us to rebuild that station. As an interim measure, we constructed a temporary, for all practical purposes, a tent, a double wall tent that allowed minimal temperatures to be maintained inside to work on the equipment, but it wasn't, we weren't able to do certain repairs on some of the equipment because of OSHA requirements and ventilation. The adjacent Alyeska pipeline shop did suffice. We were able to use that to do some of the equipment repairs and maintenance that we had to do during the winter, and they were very gracious to loan us the use of that shop. This replacement will be the same size as the original building, a little over 10,000 square feet. And it'll provide warm storage and maintenance of the shop for all of the heavy equipment used to maintain Attigan Pass, milepost 210 to milepost 284 on the Dalton Highway, and the Chandler Airport. And because it is also maintaining the Chandler Airport, the FAA has authorized $850,000 from the AIP program for this project. So this has $4.352 million in the general fund and $850,000 in federal receipts to replace that shop.
Questions? Senator Hoffman?
Why did the previous structure collapse? And was there insurance on it? And was it not designed properly?
Senator Hoffman, I believe the previous structure was a pipeline structure that was turned over to the state, and it was not very well built to begin with, and it had some foundation problems where uneven settling in the building contributed to the structural failure in it. You could say that it was insufficient maintenance to a certain extent, but also very poor construction to begin with in the building.
And it was not intended to be a permanent facility. It was temporary when it was built.
And the other question, Mr. Chairman, was it insured and are our facilities insured?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, yes, all of our buildings are insured. This particular facility did not collapse. It was as a result of an engineer study that determined that it was structurally unsafe. And that's why we tore it down.
Well, it says it's in the backup, it's on the first page, it says it collapsed.
That's the other two.
That's referring to the Cascade Station and the Seven Mile Camp. There were incidences at both of those which we needed to respond to. But it did raise the level of awareness on the part of the department that we needed to look at all of our facilities to determine whether they were structurally safe or not. And we were very fortunate in those two instances that no one was injured in that particular, in those collapses.
Mayor Taylor?
Yeah, I just wanted to know about those two collapses, the very same questions that Senator Hoffman had asked. Did we build those? Were we responsible for the design? Was that some engineer that did that? And if so, was it more than 8 years?
Through the chair, Senator Taylor, that I'm not sure, and I can find out for you what the history is on those particular structures.
We've got a new law now in the state of Alaska passed about 4 or 5 years ago that you don't get a chance to go back against that engineer anyhow when your building collapses if it's more than 8 years. So.
And most of our facilities are pretty old.
Yeah.
Senator Bundy?
I noticed that you have a cooperative arrangement with the Alaska Pipeline, and as they seem to be retrenching or gearing down with the option explored, that some lease arrangement with Alaska's facility rather than build their own standalone.
Through the chair, Senator Bundy, I'm not sure of the arrangement that we've got with them. I know that they're being generous in providing and allowing us to use that. I assume that they are going to continue to use that facility and that we had pursued a lease arrangement, but I don't believe that that's their intent, that the space is available for us on a long-term basis. And our arrangement right now is we still have to use the tent, and that does provide some difficulties in keeping our equipment warm and or maintaining them. And it is rather harsh conditions too for our staff.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I look at this project, it looks like in doing the math here, we're paying over $500 a square foot for this structure. Is that the normal structural cost for other comparable facilities that are in that area?
Senator Olson, I can't answer that if that's a normal cost. That seems to be a very high per square foot cost, but it's not a readily accessible place where materials are easy to get to. Typically, some of these remote construction costs are high. I can get you an answer to that question on why the total project costs are $5.2 million. That is not going to be, the bid cost is going to be considerably less than that. There are a lot of other expenses associated with that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Olson, you asked my question too. My frame of reference is it's 50 bucks a foot to build a house, and I seem to remember somewhere that the hospital at Fort Wainwright's being built is somewhere around $400 a square foot. So we're at 482 on this one. And so that's one heck of a building, and considering there should probably be zero site preparation because there's already something there. I'd like to have you go back to John and scrub up that number because it is general fund money, and it just seems like an awful lot for a warm storage building. And we just built one in Fairbanks, Nancy, and so maybe we want to look at that. And that one wasn't, I forget the dimension, 120 by 200.
something like that.
So, anyhow, let's scrub up that number a bit and work on that, make sure. Senator Bundy?
Well, just to add to the discussion, I've been by that Chandler camp 15, 16 times, stopped at and driven by, and there's a constant stream of 18-wheelers going by there, so when you call it remote, that's a relative term. It's not like you have to fly in material.
Other questions or comments on Chandler? Next, please.
Reference number 7091, Corps of Engineers Harbors Program Formulation. This is participation with the Army Corps of Engineers and local governments in harbor breakwaters, dredging, feasibility studies, and program assistance. It's something that we use to begin projects working with municipalities and small communities on getting their harbor projects going, early planning money and feasibility money, so that when money does become available in the Corps of Engineers pipeline, that we can take advantage of that and have harbor projects ready to go.
Questions? Seeing none, next, please.
Reference number 36453, another Corps of Engineers Harbors program construction. This particular one is $8,250,000. Participation with the Corps of Engineers and local governments in the actual construction of harbor breakwaters, dredging, and dredging. We have some information. This there's $100,000 of this is going into some design work in the Haynes Harbor. $4 million of this goes into the Wrangell Boat Harbor. It would match, this $4 million would match an additional $12 million in federal money and approximately $6 million in local funds, Wrangell, City of Wrangell funds. The state has already appropriated $1.8 $5 million towards construction and plans to eventually match the total local cost dollar for dollar, which will total up to $6 million. This project has a positive benefit to cost ratio of 1.2 to 1 on the community Wrangell and projected to have annual benefits of almost $2.2 million to that community. It received federal authorization in 2000 and appropriation for construction in 2002. With more construction expected in federal fiscal year 03. It's anticipated that federal construction can begin as soon as the city can complete its financing plan for its share of it.
Questions on Harbor's program construction? Next, please.
Let's make sure I have the right number. Reference number 37905, Bethel Dock Deferred Maintenance and Transfer. This is $600,000 that will be used to do a substantial repair on some deferred maintenance issues on the Bethel Dock. And once that repair is completed, the ownership and long-term maintenance of the dock will be transferred to the City of Bethel.
Questions on Bethel Dock? Senator Bundy?
Just on this dock transfer, generally, we have for several years now upgraded docks and then given them to municipalities. They have taken over care and feeding of these docks. How's that going? Has anybody come back from the state looking for money yet?
Senator Bundy, to my knowledge, no one has come back looking for more money. With the bond issue that passed in November, there was a considerable amount of money going to a variety of harbor projects throughout the state as a bond issue. One of the caveats of that is that the money is not transferred as an outright grant, as it has been quite often in the past, so the municipalities get to get a little interest income off that. We're getting a little bit of feedback from at least one community that they would prefer the rules of this bond issue to be the same way, but it's something that's not allowed. The way this present program is for the next 3 years is it's reimbursed. They submit invoices and they get reimbursed on those. It's been a very successful program. The communities get their docks improved and take over maintenance and operation of them.
Thank you.
Senator Taylor?
Further on that, John, are there any communities that are now moving forward utilizing that bond in that fashion and making repairs and submitting bills to?
Senator Taylor, a couple of the communities have jumped on it right away and have got their projects, you know, at least out to RFP for design, if not currently under design.
Because last time around, we funded all those projects only to find out that none of the cities could utilize it because it was going to be a penalty to them if they took the thing on, not only in the future maintenance, but also in the issuance of the bonds and the rest of it. So they rejected the entire program. Once, then it came back before us again last year as part of the bond package. And we were told that that was then going to enable the communities to get them repaired and then they would take over the future maintenance. But I've heard the same complaints. That's why I was concerned. I didn't want to see us go through this a third time because we haven't found a way to transfer them. So I'm encouraged by your report. That's good.
Mr. Chairman, and there seems to be a lot of enthusiasm to go forward with that program. In fact, I believe that we're going to be signing an agreement with Juno possibly tomorrow on concerning the transfer of their facility and the facilities. And so I think it's working very well.
Mayor, any other questions, comments on deferred maintenance or docks? Next, please, community access.
Reference number 38455, Community Access Roads. This is $1 million in federal receipts, $4 million in general funds. This is one of the priority projects of the governor to get some projects going that are actually going to be building some roads in this state, not just repairing the roads. There are a number of communities that we've designated where we could very readily construct some roads to connect the communities so that two communities can share an airport, there can be more sharing of school facilities or other public facilities within those communities and hopefully lower some of the long-term operating costs.
So who wants to ask the question?
Yeah.
Come on. Senator Bundy?
Just a comment. History doesn't bear out your optimism, and as I understand, there are communities here in Southeast connected by roads that have to have two separate school districts, so maybe we need to do something more to encourage that cooperation rather than just roads.
That wasn't my question, but it was a good question. So, might there be just a little backup? I mean, there's a lot of white on this
one.
Well, I suspect we're going to see something that might say both the next two are $9 million requests, so we would probably expect to have some sort of backup.
Well, you know, some of the backup. One of the examples that we have as a community access road is the Iliamna non-Dalton Road, and that is one where you've got two communities that both could benefit by being connected. And the difficult part there is they each have an airport, and which airport would you continue to maintain? That's going to be the one where, you know, I think the administration will need the help of the legislature on that.
Well, would you work with Darwin and see that the committee gets some sense of where the $9 million is going to go, so that a year from now we can say, well, how are we doing? It's $9 million and a lot of white space. Senator, is that okay?
Yes, we'll
just. There's got to be a plan for this somewhere.
We're beginning that plan, and we have a number of potential roads identified on that one, and we'll get you some backup material on that.
Okay, thank you, Senator Hoffman.
Yes, on the Iliamna and Non-Dalton Road, and I think that could be fine. Construction is there, but the hang-up is the construction of a bridge, because there's some water, you know, between the two that they have to pass over. That we've been working on that project for at least a decade, it seems. And is that still tied up in litigation? And is the department still proceeding for the construction of that? That is no longer in my district. That is now. Senator Stevens, Gary Stevens' district, but you know, I the worthwhileness of that project is tremendous, but it's been tied up in litigation because of one particular individual that has been keeping in court. Do you have a current status of that project?
Senator Hoffman, I did sit on a teleconference about 10 days ago on the status of that litigation, and the person that brought suit has a very good case. There is an opportunity where a little bit of language could be put into some legislation that could take care of that. I don't have the language right here, but we've discussed it, and there is the potential to take care of a lot of the potential problem with that litigation by a little bit of language change in statute.
Well, there has been some spin-offs to that, Mr. Chairman. The individual that's suing the state has been providing turkeys on an annual basis to all the people in Randolph.
Yes. I was talking with staff when you were talking. Was that the was it the Port Allsworth Road?
No.
Oh, different issue.
Different road.
All right. Anything else on community access and industrial development roads? We'll roll those two together and ask you to just to bring us a little back up. It is 9 million GF.
That fine print on the bottom says expect a miracle. That's my point.
So, all right. Anything on industrial development, John?
Money is it we give to Anchorage every year on their own four roads? Is that 40 million now?
I don't know, Senator. Do you have a question? Go ahead.
I just was kind of comparing it. I don't remember seeing a big list from Anchorage on AMAPS that comes to us for our approval on the 40 million that they blow every year. It'd be kind of interesting to know how it compares.
Let's work on that after we work on this. John, we're on 38454.
List right there.
Okay. Show me a list where we build any
Senator
community
Taylor?
Road, any place in this state in the last 20 years.
Senator Taylor, I'd like to stay on industrial development roads.
Good.
All right. Go ahead, please.
Great. 38454, industrial development roads. This is also a priority program of the governor to build some more roads in the state that will create some economic opportunities, and we have a number of them identified. One is in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Basin area that will take care of access to the name slips me. Donlin Creek Mine. It's a multi-phase project. The first one is to get them to an interim port on the Kuskokwim Delta or Kuskokwim River, and with the long-term goal of to a bigger port on the Yukon River and in connection to the state road system eventually. The potential for opening up resource development in that area is very high. And this is a high priority. Another one of the priority roads is up on the north slope coming off the Dalton Highway to access a tremendous number of acreage in state leases, oil development exploration leases in the north slope area. And the goal on that one is to build the road and get access to those lease properties that have a 90-10 split with most of the royalties coming to the state. There's a larger payback to access those lease areas than there is to access the federal lease lands.
Industrial development roads, questions? I would expect that should Congressman Young and Senator Stevens be successful in their reauthorization of T21, that those monies that would come to us would supplant these monies, because I think that's the type of project that they're looking at. So just throw that out on the table to think about. And you folks are spun up on that.
Yes.
You're aware of that. Senator Bundy?
And should they not be successful, has there been thought given to follow the Red Dog Mine Road example and create it as a toll road?
Senator Bundy, we are examining a variety of financing mechanisms for these. There's obviously a lot of benefit to the industry in these, and they should be participating in them. We're putting a team together that will be doing some of the early planning and engineering and design of these, and looking at in-kind contributions from industry on those, as well as from the regional corporation, which stands to benefit too, because they have land in the area also.
And again, if we could just get some backup business plan on those types of roads, we'd appreciate it. Anything else on industrial development roads? Next, please.
Reference number 30628, state equipment fleet replacement, $15 million out of the highway working capital fund. This is for replacement and refurbishment of equipment and vehicles which have reached the end of their useful life, and, you know, all possible extension periods, and for continued conversion of vehicles to alternate fuel and related alternate fuel program expenses.
Senator Taylor?
What vehicles are we converting to alternate fuel?
Senator Taylor, that's a very good question. I don't know whether any of them are being converted to propane.
Mr. Chairman, we do have used natural gas vehicles. We have had some of them in our fleet. I've driven one. So we're used. I believe the statutes require us to look at alternative fuels, and we've done that in some instances. Not very many. It's a pretty small number. But they're basically sedans.
Senator, oh, excuse me, go ahead.
Well, the other question I had was, I thought we had a sinking fund, so to speak, or an amortization fund already built within the system for replacement of all of our equipment. And yet, every year I see us come in with another allocation for replacement of equipment out of general fund.
Explain to us, what is the Highway Capital Fund, Nancy?
The Highway Working Capital Fund is the fund that you speak of, which is that the agencies or the user agencies pay into on a monthly basis the amount for operating and for our maintenance and replacement of those vehicles. It requires us to have budgetary authorization to spend from that fund, and that's what this is. That we receive come forward in the capital budget to request the ability to spend money from that fund for the replacement of those vehicles.
Last question. Why are we not utilizing wet and dry leasing as opposed to outright purchase? It would get rid of a huge pile of maintenance costs.
Through the chair, Senator Taylor, we do in some respects do some leasing when it is appropriate for our needs. But on the most part, when we're looking at snow plows and graders and all of those, and even a fleet of our certain types of trucks, it's easier, it's more economical for us to maintain them. Having them there when we need them and to be able to put priority on them as we need. This also in the fleet is for replacement of trooper vehicles. So it's not just DOT vehicles, it's all vehicles that we maintain for the state.
That's my concern, is that just in the last couple weeks we've gone through different agency budgets where we see we have to have two more sedans for social workers in this area. We have to have another van for somebody else over here. We need new trooper vehicles. These are all vehicles that are normally in the business community leased. They turn them back in. They do it on a wet lease program, and if you need anything done to that vehicle, you take it to the dealer. You got a replacement rig you're driving around in with the social worker. But instead, we bill out back to the agencies out of DOT at a very high rate to have repairs done, a windshield wiper replaced, or a tire changed on a sedan. We bill back out to that agency, which increases that cost to that agency. And I think there's significant savings here that could be accomplished through an aggressive leasing program where we wouldn't have to be maintaining that equipment. Whoever owned it and was leasing it to us would do that as part of the lease. And I think you'll find the numbers are significant, but that's a future subject.
And it is. And Senator Taylor, I believe there is an initiative in current .puff to look for exactly what you're talking about for next year's budget. So, Senator Hoffman and Senator Olson, Senator Bunn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to request a list of your purchases for 03 through June 30th and the list of your anticipated expenditures for the $15 million for 04. The type of vehicles and location.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do we have any analysis that's done on the alternate fuel as to whether it's more or less cost effective to go and use that?
I'm sure we do, and I can get that for you. I would assume that my staff has been working on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bundy.
I think Senator Hoffman addressed my concern. I'm not so interested in pickups, but I hear a lot of concern in private industry about major construction equipment that the state may be buying and having sits 50 weeks out of the year, so we can use it 2 weeks. The major pieces of equipment they're trying to purchase would be better.
Anything else on statewide equipment fleet replacement? Next, please.
Senator Bundy, I'll try and include the information on that. I think that's the drill rig you're probably talking about. All.
Yeah, we're very familiar with the drill
yes.
rig.
I hear about it a lot. Reference number 32605, Weights and Measures Testing Unit Replacement. Oh, excuse me.
35.
Back up one.
3585.
Yes, 35835, State Equipment Fleet Management System Replacement. This is a replacement of the equipment management system that allows us to keep track of all of the vehicles in the fleet. There's over 7,000 vehicles statewide that are tracked. It allows us to keep track of the vehicles so they come in regularly as needed on preventative maintenance. Good preventative maintenance program extends the life of the vehicle and keeps them in safe operating condition. The existing management system that we have, I believe, is a very old WANG-based system that cannot be maintained adequately, and it doesn't perform the functions that we need it to do.
Hopefully one of the benefits of this new system will help us in being able to track our warranties on our vehicles and being able to recoup monies from work that's being done under warranty and hopefully reduce our costs accordingly.
Any questions on fleet equipment management? Senator Taylor.
The explanation is amazing. Many of the original functional modules have been disabled because they never function at all.
So we've been limping along with this system for several years, and it's been, I have one person that maintains the system, and we had an evaluation done, an analysis done by DMG Maximus a couple of years ago, and one of the points that they brought up continually was the need to replace this equipment management system, that it was so poor and so that and not user-friendly at all, and so that you find that people in the field don't use it because it is so difficult, and question its ability to provide management information that we need.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Will this system be able to look at such things as breakdowns of computer chips and say, on a cat or on a grader in Kipnuk, and they don't have the necessary parts, and the equipment sits there for 3-4 months and can't get the parts, and say that that is not the type of equipment that should be purchased. We should be going back and using conventional manual cats and graders out there. Is this something that this system could look at?
Hopefully, this equipment management system will be able to allow us to track those types of areas, especially where we're finding that extensive downtime of the fleet vehicles and excessive costs associated with them, and be able to pinpoint those where we really need to look at alternative vehicles. I think that it definitely is one of those areas that this will help us.
Other questions? Senator Olson.
As I look at this, I'm assuming that these numbers that are seen here that are reflecting some of the maintenance on the vehicles that are out there are compiled with the idea that you're doing maintenance for vehicles from other departments?
It's true.
And if you were to have the departments themselves maintain their own vehicles, would there be a unanimous consensus that it's more economical from a financial standpoint to have the departments maintain their own vehicles?
To the chair, Senator Olson, I think when you decentralize those responsibilities out to the agencies, certainly you end up with a lot of more duplication of effort, certainly, and finding that if you provide it in a more centralized manner by a DOT who is statutorily responsible for those fleets, the fleet vehicles, that...
I fully understand that, Ms. Slagle, but my question is, if I was to call the department of whatever that you're maintaining the vehicle for, and they would say to me that, yes, it is more economical for me to send my state trooper vehicle over to the Department of Transportation for maintenance, would that be the kind of phone call, would that be the flavor of the phone call I'd be getting?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I would hope that they would, but I can't guarantee that.
With all due respect, it has not been my experience, Ms. Slagle.
And as Senator Wilkin had stated, we are looking at some alternative ways of billing in the future for our costs, and hopefully looking at a way that could be more representative of what the user agencies are seeing in the way of actual costs happening. So if they go in and have their vehicle worked on, they could be handed a bill, as you would at your local automotive repair shop, and show them exactly what it is that was done and the costs associated
with
that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else on statewide management system, fleet management? Okay. Your last item, weights and measures.
Reference number 32605, a weights and measures testing unit replacement. This is $75,000 from the general fund for the purchase of a couple of pieces of equipment, a 500-gallon trailer-mounted stainless steel volumetric prover. This equipment will be used to enhance or supplement the large meter testing program that we have and travels all around Southeast Alaska. The other item is metrology laboratory upgrades to meet the federal requirements to include environmental control systems, artifact handling equipment, facility modifications in Anchorage, I believe, $45,000 there.
Questions on the testing unit replacement? Seeing none, let's use this as a place that we can break. And let me ask a couple of questions. So if you could come back in the morning, how long do you think for us to go through this? I suspect not very long, huh? Unless we have particular questions. We've got five allocation or appropriations.
Certainly, and they're mostly federal, except for the general fund match
Okay.
areas.
All right. Well, let's.
1 hour should be adequate.
Okay, so let's say a half an hour to an hour on that. So then, if that's the case, then let's, as long as you're going to be here, I'll get with Senator Cowdery, and that's Senate Bill 40, construction of highways and by dot puffs, so you folks will be here if you're going to testify on that. So let's pick up Senate Bill 40, and House Bill 12. And let's just try those in the morning. We'll get those two out of the way, and then we'll then move next week. I suspect the fee for a set of tires is going to take a little time, so maybe an hour on that on Monday or Tuesday, but we'll schedule that later. Is that all right with everybody? So tomorrow morning, we'll finish with you folks. If Senator Cowdery can be here, we'll do Senate Bill 40 and House Bill 12. I want to come back to the question that Senator Taylor asked about AMATs, and his question was, where does the list appear that Anchorage pays for AMATs? Senator Stevens held up something.
Well, we've got the list. We just don't have
the list.
Okay.
Don't have what? Skip, pardon me?
We don't approve that list.
That's a federal requirement for MPO.
We don't approve it here. It's approved up there. They
that's the process
they
that's designate. Been designated by the feds.
Yes. They designated.
Okay. So
that's
we...
Well, I take issue with the comments you said, well, we give them the money and they waste the money. That's
I'm not saying they wasted it. I said they use that much money up there and we don't approve that here.
That's
that
the way
the... response to Senator Bundy's comment that we have $9 million worth of general fund going and it'll be a miracle if it shows up.
All right. I just wanted to make sure that we had on the record. And Senator Stevens, I wanted to see that list. Could you just hold it up for each of us?
I can distribute it for you. The AMAT provided the list.
Oh, I just wanted to see it. So, okay. Anything else coming forward the committee? We've got a 10 o'clock meeting. Senator Bundy.
Yes. Yesterday we had some discussion of the Village Safe Water. You handed out a list, and we didn't have totals. And just want to let you know that the total funds used for Village Safe Water was $872 million, $964,115.
Over how many years?
Since
the
life of the project.
Middle 80s. Okay, we have a 10 o'clock meeting. Thanks, everybody. We're adjourned until tomorrow morning.